the crux of it for me. It's okay, you know, this is just the way, the path that if I stick with her, this is the path we're going to end up going down. So, okay, just embrace it instead of run from it.
And as you've said of other things, you are on the same page when it came to the important stuff. So this is the deal, and away we go.
Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as much as you'll hear, and as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Christ in All Things. I am Pastor Jason Shockman.
And I'm Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
And we have with us a special guest today, David Robert Meyer.
I bet you say that about all your guests. They're special.
It, mostly you, in a special kind of way.
Sure.
So David Meyer has been around here at St. Paul's for some time. And involved in all kinds of different ways. So you, dear listener, if you've been here at St. Paul's, you've probably seen him. And now today we get to sit down and have a conversation and learn a little more about who is David Robert Meyer. That being said.
So what's the story on your name? Where did it come from? We'll talk about the meaning in a second, but what's the story?
All right. So as far as being named David, my parents had an agreement that kind of, if I was a boy, my dad got to name me. If I was a girl, my mom would name me. So, ironically enough, no matter who I was going to name me, I was always going to be David. I mean, being a child of the late 70s, that was a very popular name.
And it remains so.
Uh-huh,
and has been
so.
For the better part of the last three millennia.
Absolutely.
Since that King guy.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Got a lot to live up to that King guy, but, you know, in some ways,
no. Yes and no.
So David was mom's pick, and David was dad's pick.
That's
so
correct.
Independently.
Any way you skin it.
Yeah, I was going to be David if I was a boy.
There you go. And you are.
Correct.
Right. And then middle name,
Robert.
How did that come about?
Never asked my parents how that one came about. I just think it was a name they liked. It kind of is actually a popular middle name in my family. A couple of my cousins also have the same middle name, so.
Okay. And Meyer, obviously, is your family's surname.
Correct.
So do you know, David, what your name means?
My first name means beloved.
Yes. A Hebrew root obviously goes back to that King David guy, the David guy, and does mean beloved. You are correct. How about your middle name?
That I have no idea.
Okay, so it's actually a Middle German word. It means bright flame. There's a couple other iterations from other languages, but I'm going to stick with that one.
All right, fair enough.
Okay.
For some reasons that will probably come up later.
What does Meyer mean?
Meyer is a surname that has Hebrew roots and German roots.
Okay.
In its Hebrew root, it means shining or enlightened.
Okay.
In its German root, it means superior or higher. So altogether, you are a beloved bright flame that shines in your high superiority.
Which is also kind of interesting because I did look at my last name, and part of that was, especially with the surname, it also usually describes somebody that was kind of like worked underneath like the land baron or the landowner and kind of managed all its affairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So kind of actually doing what I do around here, it kind of fits.
It kind of does.
A lot.
It kind of does. More than a little.
It's almost frightening how much it actually fits.
Working under the land baron.
Kind
of. And I'm assuming you're accusing me and Shockman of being the land barons.
No, well, Jesus is the land baron.
Jesus is the land baron. I work under the guys that work under the guy.
Yeah, I gotcha. There you go.
That works.
Middle management, basically.
Very, very common German name, though.
Absolutely.
Especially around here.
Yeah, there's a handful of Myers
around
here.
Just mine spelled correctly.
Yours is spelled M-E-Y-E-R.
Right.
Okay. So let's get into the big questions.
Correctly. Yeah, yes. So the big questions. So, David, the other thing we want to talk about is how you have been formed by Christ and all things into who you are. So what are the 3 to 5 big moments or big things or people in life that have formed you into who you are?
I'm going to focus on the people who formed me.
Okay.
It's all kind of centers around my family primarily, you know, my parents.
So what's number one?
I would actually say probably my parents and grandparents would be my number one.
Why is that?
Why is that? Because it's kind of like they're the example that I kind of followed, both just by listening to them talk and by just kind of following what they did. So my parents, my dad was a 20-year business owner of a lumberyard. So my dad's always been, you know, the guy that did the work, the providing, kind of set the example, kind of, you know, in some ways how a Christ-like man should act. You take care of your family. You provide for them. You provide the protection. You do all those things, and you led by example. My mom, you know, was also kind of the same way. She had to work too. My parents were both very big servants in the church. And in fact, they're still very involved in the church that they've been a member of for the last almost over 40 years now. Serving in various different offices.
Do you mind saying where that is?
Yeah, it's Covenant Lutheran in Milwaukee. So yeah. If you know where the district office is, it's the big church right behind the building. So, and that's actually where I grew up and was confirmed there. So, I mean, as far as that goes, I mean, being involved in church, I've probably been involved in church since I've been serving and since I've probably been allowed to confirmed. So I've started as an usher. I actually served as in a committee when I was about 15 years old to do long-term planning as we had the retirement of a pastor. And we were looking to kind of figure out, okay, what is the congregation looking for in its next shepherd? Moving on, you know, I'd go to school in Green Bay, meet my wife, which is a lot of fun there. And, you know, but we always continue to serve kind of wherever we've been.
So back up. You got recruited when you were 15 to be on the strategic planning as the congregation was preparing to call a new pastor?
Correct.
Was it strategic planning or was that call committee?
It was long-range planning.
Okay.
It wasn't call committee. It was...
That's strategic planning.
What we ended up doing coming out of that whole thing was basically setting the criteria of who we were, what we thought the congregation was going to need in its next shepherd. And crazy enough, the person that we called is still there.
Huh.
After 30, almost 30 years, so...
And that's rare these days, a long-term pastorate like that.
It is.
I'd like to come back to that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Unless you want to just... Because I love that you got recruited, and you're freshman, sophomore in high school.
I think I might have been a junior.
Junior in high school.
Yeah.
And you got recruited.
I got recruited.
And so you started serving during the confirmation process, presumably.
Yeah. At the congregation I grew up in, you had to be confirmed before you could serve as an usher or anything like that. So, I mean, you did acolyte stuff in eighth grade, but then, you know, once you were confirmed, you could kind of serve in those kind of roles. So, yeah, I've been an usher. I mean, you know, I've had examples. My grandfather did that kind of stuff. My dad, my parents, my uncles, everybody.
Well, I think I want to circle back to the service stuff because you said number one is your parents and grandparents. So you talked about your parents, both, you know, being hardworking people. Now, if I'm remembering rightly, your dad didn't just work at the lumberyard. Your dad owned it.
He owned it. And when you're running a 7 or 8 person operation, he ran it with his twin brother. You kind of own your job is really what you do. And you have all the extra responsibilities kind of a lot of times anything kind of falls on you. If your people don't show up or whatever, you got to do it.
Did you work at the lumberyard as a kid?
Oh, yeah, I did. My first job was cleaning toilets and everything else. That was about as high as freshman in high school, Saturday mornings.
And you, now, remind me, you have siblings, correct?
I have one younger brother.
And did he worked there, too?
Yeah, we all did. A couple of my cousins did a couple tours there. I kind of worked there on and off when, you know, Usually I'd work there like during spring break, or not spring break, Christmas break, especially when I was in college. So I'd spend the whole month of January, you know, freezing outside. That's what I did. And then, you know, spring break and then summer. So that was like, I basically worked for my spending cash for the year. So
you also mentioned, sorry, Pastor Shockman jumping in, but you also mentioned grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really talked about them.
Sure.
So grandparents were also very influential. Both sides?
More so my maternal grandparents.
Okay.
I spent a lot more time, you know, growing up, you know, because both parents were working. So when I was real little, I'd spend a couple days a week with my maternal grandmother, who's, God be praised, is still with us.
What's her name?
Bonnie.
Okay. Last name?
Zaretsky.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's...
Say that one more time.
Zaretsky.
Zaretsky.
Which is actually a German name. So...
And so Grandma Zaretsky took care of you?
Grandma Bonnie.
What did you call her?
Grandma Bonnie.
She was Grandma Bonnie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Everybody knows a lot of people know Grandma Bonnie around here, so.
And were they churchgoers as well?
Very much so.
Where?
Both sets of my grandparents were churchgoers. My maternal ones, they were members of Peace in Sussex, and they actually did two different stints there. So back in about the mid-80s, my grandpa he was in sewer construction.
Okay.
He lost his job in like the mid-80s and managed to get a construction gig digging a tunnel, but it was down in Miami, Florida. So my grandparents actually moved to Florida, not to retire, but to keep working.
Right.
So they were down there for about 20 years. And then when they came back, they lived in Pewaukee, and then they ended up rejoining Peace. And my grandmother's still there to this day.
Yeah, one of the great confessional churches of the Missouri Synod by one of my favorite pastors in the Missouri Synod, Peter Bender.
Yeah.
So, he's been there quite a while.
Yeah. In fact, just kind of the way it worked out that when my grandfather died, he ended up somehow or another becoming golf buddies with Ed Soufflo.
Oh,
the former
district president of the South Wisconsin district.
So when he passed suddenly, Pastor Bender was in Sweden. So who did his funeral? Ed Soufflo.
Yeah.
So I have a special place in my heart for that man.
That's Lutheran bingo at a high level.
Yeah. So your maternal grandparents were very involved. What about the paternal grandparents?
Same. They were more, you know, they were just there every Sunday. I'm not sure exactly how involved, less involved my grandparents were as far as that goes. It was more, like I said, I spent just more time with my maternal grandparents. So I saw a lot more of that.
But pretty much
every Sunday, they were, all sets were in church.
Yeah.
And at Peace.
No, one was at Peace. My maternal grandparents were at Peace. My paternal grandparents were Benediction in Milwaukee.
Sure. Okay. So that, you know, the being in Sunday worship, were they parochial school kids as well?
My dad was from middle school, and then he went to Milwaukee Lutheran.
Okay.
So I'm actually like third generation Milwaukee Lutheran high school. Yeah. My grandfather was, my dad's grandfather was graduated the old Lutheran High School, the original.
Yeah.
And then my dad and myself are Milwaukee Lutheran, and, you know, God willing, my son will be the fourth. So
yeah.
If he graduates Lake Country, so.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So parents and grandparents.
Number
you
one.
You said you wanted this number one. You wanted to focus on people. So people, group, or peer, or person, number two.
Oh, it's my wife.
Right. Of course.
Yeah, of course. It has to be.
So why is that?
Right.
Not everybody says that.
Well, because I was blessed to meet somebody who actually felt the same way about their faith, the church that I did, was willing to be involved, was willing to let me be involved, even when she didn't want to, kind of willing to sacrifice. My wife, and I'm sure every man could probably say this about their wife, hopefully they can, is, you know, probably one of the greatest examples of Christ-like forgiveness that you can see, because they have to put up with me or put up with us. So. But yeah, it's been great. She's been a great support to allow me to do the things.
So what
I'm
was
doing.
It about Jackie when you met her? Because we haven't posted her episode yet as of this recording, but we also did interview Jackie Meyer.
But we will.
But we will. So we heard a little bit of the story of how you met, or where you met. So, but what was it about Jackie?
I don't know what it was at the time I met her. But it was after, like, our first date, it was like, you kind of almost knew I've got somebody that I definitely want to hold on to.
Yeah.
After getting to know her, we just had so much in common.
How old were you?
22, I think.
22.
Yeah, because we were married at I was 25. So we dated for a little less than 3 years before we were married. So just talking to her, it's like we both kind of had the same... Our family backgrounds were astonishingly similar. Her father was a business owner. My dad's a business owner. We kind of joke that in certain ways we could probably trade families and not know the difference. So we just kind of knew, and we hit it off. And then, of course, you know, our parents meet, they hit it off. They get along great. So it's there's none of that kind of weird, you know, in-law stuff that some people might have. So it's been really good.
That's
so
actually
it's a blessing.
That's an enormous gift,
mm-hmm.
actually, have to parents that get along. that's an enormous gift.
It is. And actually like to enjoy each other's company and stuff like that. So, yeah. You know, it's just, we have that, you know, we just had that kind of, you know, that kind of bond. And, you know, it just helps that you got somebody that you're kind of willing, that's willing to put up with you and all your foibles and just kind of goes, okay, you know, you screw up. You know, sometimes it's just more of it's not get in your face. It's how do we fix it? You know, so
when you met Jackie, it's there's the similarity, but at the core of it, there's the faith in Christ and the practice of that's really centered to who she is that attracted you.
Yes, you know, her. It was one of those where it was like we knew we had it together on the really big stuff, faith, how we kind of view things, big kind of things that are important to us. We're both on the same page with a lot of stuff.
Yep,
and that still remains true today.
And I want to interject here something because Jackie talked about it
mm-hmm.
when we interviewed her. And so for listeners, you could, her interview will also be posted by the time that
hers will come first.
Hers mm-hmm. will come by the time you hear this. But, you know, when Jackie has a particular syndrome that didn't enable her to have children. And,
correct.
And you knew that. So you knew that fairly early.
Yeah,
right?
I'd say within about a month of dating.
And that was just, that was part of the deal. And you,
it was part of the deal. It didn't bother me. Kind of how we got to children wasn't really the crux of it for me. It's okay, you know, this is just the path that if I stick with her, this is the path we're going to end up going down. So, okay, just embrace it instead of run from it.
And as you've said of other things, you were on the same page when it mm-hmm. came to the important stuff. So this is the deal, and away we go.
Right.
Yeah, I, for what it's worth, David, I love that story.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I know we want to circle back to being 15 and on the long-range planning committee for your congregation's well-being. And you said that number one was parents, grandparents. Number two is your wife.
Right.
Number three... is
it's the child, of course.
The child.
The child.
Yeah. Number three. Caleb, for those who don't know. And how is it that Caleb is number three, or what impact has he had that makes him the third most formative thing in your life?
Being a dad changed the way I viewed everything.
No doubt.
You know, I wasn't always the, you know, I could be a little on the selfish side, a little on, and that just kind of goes away. You just know what you got to do, and you just kind of embrace it all. I've learned just to enjoy the ride. He's a great kid. We couldn't have been more blessed. And it is sometimes when you talk about it, you know, biologically, obviously he's not ours, but man, oh man, he could have been.
He's a Meyer.
Is he ever?
By personality?
Uh-huh.
Yep, sure is.
He's my son in so many ways, which is why, you know, some of the stuff he does just drives me insane. But it's because he's doing the same stuff I did. You know?
It's like...
Hesitating to find the right word.
It's like he learned...
Without needing a cough button.
It's like... I have one of those. It's like he learned by your example... And by your word and deed, what it meant to be a man after God's own heart.
In fact, I think in a lot of ways he's exceeded me in that. You know, a lot of times I kind of joke around him. It's like, don't be me, be better than me. You know, so yeah. I really kind of try and push that on him. But, I mean, that kid is way more giving of himself than I could ever be. Just the way that he treats people. It doesn't matter if you're in a high schooler. It doesn't matter if you're a kindergarten. He will give them all the same amount of time. It's a joy watching him. I kind of have to watch him a little bit to make sure that he doesn't get to the point where he feels obligated to do it, right? Because if you're willing to do it, it's great. But I want to make sure that he knows that it's not something he has to do, right?
It's okay to say no.
It's okay to say no.
This is reminding me a little bit of our conversation with Gary Flanagan. And yeah. So for listeners, it's worth going back and listening to that. If you haven't listened to our interview with Gary Flanagan from, I think it was season one,
yep.
is probably worth doing. This is, you know, because what Gary described, you know, this is who we are,
mm-hmm.
and this is what we do. Right? We're servants of the church. You know, and he started when he was a boy, yeah. you know, like you did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, in different kinds of service, but this is what we do.
Yeah. And you see that modeled in the Meyer clan when on Saturday they're here at 4 o'clock and getting the church ready and services at 5 and but Caleb's here helping and
mm-hmm.
putting bulletins out and handing them out and pulling the cord to ring the bell and then holds onto it and it yanks him off the floor 4 feet.
At least he's gotten to the point where he keeps the laughter inside now and not just starts old man laughing like he tends to do.
While he's ringing
the
bell.
Did he used to do that? Oh, yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember seeing that.
I always sneak him up there. It's on Saturday nights. It's like it's his.
Yeah. And he goes up to ring the bell and he starts yanking on that rope and then he grabs a hold of it and it pulls him up off the floor
and he starts
just start not giggling.
Oh, like, bully laughing.
Old man belly laugh.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is wonderful.
Do we have video of this?
No, but we should.
We should.
Yeah, because that he may not do that forever.
David.
Well, you never know.
It would be pretty awesome for him to be 60 years old and giggling while ringing the bell.
Your mission.
I mean, he's 40 years old and still, you know, 40 plus and still
almost
giggles
50.
When he...
Your mission, should you choose to accept it...
Is to record him.
Is to get video of Caleb laughing his belly laugh yeah. while he's holding onto the rope. Because it pulled him off the ground.
So somehow you need to set up a camera yeah. and not...
Yeah, not,
let him know that
do it. Yeah, do it kind of incognito.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, like, hey, son, pull the rope. I'm going to record you. Yeah, no, don't do that.
Do that because he'll play up to it.
Exactly. We just want to see it au naturel.
But yeah, he's one of those. He likes to help out any way he can. He likes to hold the door open for people. He has a servant heart.
Yeah,
and I don't think people. Some people develop that. Some people just have it. He just has it.
Okay. 1, 2, and 3. Parents, grandparents, my wife.
Yeah.
And Caleb.
Yeah.
I want to.
Number 4.
We've got a few minutes here. We got to.
Let's just lay out the top 5. Oh, and you we'll circle back. We got a whole nother episode to dig into these.
Okay. That's fair. We can do it that way.
So number 3 is Caleb. Is there a number 4?
That would be probably my service here. Being here, in fact. Probably that money should be a better way to put it. I was the kid that went pretty much K-5 through high school, Lutheran education all the way yeah. through. But I never really understood what it meant to be Lutheran until I got here.
Hmm.
You know, I guess maybe just, you know, for the, you know, I mean, I was usually in church every Sunday helping out, but probably not getting as much in the word and the study as I did until I started coming here. You know, I started going to, you know, when I got here, I started, you know, going to the Sunday morning adult classes. Then I started going to Journeyman.
Journeyman, by the way, for our listeners, is our men's group. And we twice a month Bible study yep. and other acts of service that take place in the congregation.
Yeah, we do a lot. So we can talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, Journeyman's been a big, big part of my life because, you know, over the course of the years, I kind of ended up having to lead the Bible study, and it kind of was meant to be a temporary thing, and it just never stopped.
Is that number 5?
Yeah, I guess we could put it number 5, sure.
Well, what was your number 5?
Didn't have one. Oh. So that works.
You had four.
Okay. I had four.
And service at St. Paul's and Journeyman being part of that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you say, we're going to circle back to this, but when you say what it meant to be Lutheran, I'm going to want you to expound on that a little bit. Not right now, but okay. I'm just telling you I'm coming back for it. So here's some things that we're coming back for. We're coming back for the 15-year-old on a long-range planning committee. We're coming back for the shared faith and practice with your wife. We're coming back for the experience of how you're learning from Caleb. We're coming back for what it meant to be Lutheran. Mm-hmm. And we're coming back for how do you recruit the next leader of Journeyman?
Oh, okay.
That is a good question.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
We'll talk about those things, folks, in the next episode. We thank you for listening to this episode of Christ in All Things and look forward to seeing you again.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift.
But it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help us make Christ in All Things a self-supporting show and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a dozen environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straws to share with your friends. Pastor Shockman loves these.
That is so not true. You love those way too much, and I still can't believe you bought them. A donation of $200 or more gets you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And a handmade Christ in All Things leather folio by the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, well, fly us wherever you want, and we will record Christ in All Things at your chosen location. Within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or the old-fashioned way, give us a call, 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.